PRX and NPR. Welcome back to Snap Judgment, the overthrow episode. My name is Glenn Washington, and today on the show, we're examining real cases where the old guard meets the new world order. And for this next story, we travel to the island nation of Iceland. And back in the day, if I said Iceland, you might think hot springs, prosperity, Bjork. But a few years back, this little paradise gained a much more somber type of fame.
In 2008, the people of Iceland took to the streets, banging pots and pans as the prime minister addressed the nation.
And then at the end of his speech, he said, God bless Iceland. And I'd never heard that before or after. A politician asking God to bless us. You have it. but we don't have it that much.
Jan Gunnar grew up in a suburb outside of the capital, Reykjavik. And when he was young, he had a hard time in school. When he was 10, he still couldn't write his three-lettered name.
And that was a big problem for me, you know. I couldn't figure out which way does J turn. Nobody really knew what was wrong with me, but everybody feared, you know, that I was just, you know, stupid. I feared that they were all right. I kind of adopted this way of being a class fool because making people laugh of something that you said or did was better than having them laughing at you for not doing anything. From early age, comedy was a kind of a lifesaver for me because there came something that, you know, was mine. That was something that I created.
So when the banks collapsed and Jan lost his job, he returned to comedy.
Já, hvaða mannvonska og heimska er það að skýra flugvél Fokker?
I made up this politician character, and I called him the Simpleton. He was like a simple, happy-go-lucky liar. Fast-talking, fast-thinking, and always, you know, with a smirky smile. He just promised whatever, and bluntly. Free entrance and free towels at the swimming pools, and a polar bear for the zoo. And we can get them for free because sometimes polar bears will swim to the coast of Iceland from Greenland, and they're just shot at sight. So I suggested, or he suggested, or I don't know. It became, I created this character, but slowly this character kind of changed into me back again.
Jan found himself getting pretty consistent feedback after his performances.
People would come up to me and thank me for the show. I really liked it. And I remember I was kind of cornered by a group of very intelligent people. And they were saying, seriously, you should start your own political party and just run, you know. And I was saying, well, explaining to them, well, it's part of my program, you know, it's just an idea. Yes, we know, but it's a great idea. You should do it. It felt ridiculous and it felt very funny, but at the same time, it felt so right, you know. I mean, what is politics and political representatives? They're just people, and some of them make a mess. Why don't more people like me go into politics? Why don't more creative people get politically involved? And everything in me said kind of yes. You are probably the only man, only person who can step into this and have a positive effect on it. So I decided that I would run for prime minister. I went down to the National Registry and I said, is it complicated to register a political party? Now it's just, you know, you have to fill out this form. And it cost almost nothing. And I called it the best party. Prior to that, I had been thinking about calling it the cool party. And we would only promise to do cool things and not uncool things. And absolutely nothing corny. So, but I went for best. It sounded more stupid.
Next, Jan needed to recruit party members. He randomly messaged people he thought could be good for the job. When they asked if this was going to take a lot of their time...
No, not at all, I would say. No, I just need a name and your photo, and I'll just crop a photo of Facebook, so don't bother. You don't have to send me a photo. And they were all glad to help.
And the best party became official.
We announced the birth of the best party in a shopping mall, and that was at that meeting when I realized that I was running for mayor. I thought I was running for minister.
Wait, so you really didn't know you had signed up to run for mayor?
Not in the beginning, no.
Jan took his campaign to the streets. He stayed true to his sketch character and threw promises around like confetti. He'd traveled to nursing homes and promised the residents that his speeches would never put them to sleep. He'd tell classrooms of kindergartners that he was going to build a Disneyland in Reykjavik.
I like to go on stage unprepared. I like the tension of it. I would just go to some address and there would be some people and I would do my best from there. I was never sure what they thought. When the first polls started to come out, it's like 8 weeks prior to the election. There was a small percentage, not even a whole percentage, of people that intended to vote for the best party. It was like a 0.5 or 0.7% people.
In typical Jan Gunnar fashion, he declared the polls a landslide victory. He was having fun.
I was a guest in an Icelandic talk show, and in the makeup there was this woman who greeted me and said hello and hi, and is it right, you know, what I hear that you have started your own political party? And yeah, that's correct. I said, and she said, okay, that's great news. Good luck with it. Oh, thank you. I said, and then she left, and I asked the makeup artist there, who was that? And she said, you really don't know who this is? No. That's the mayor of Reykjavik. that's the person you're running up against. And I didn't know.
But then in the next polls, the best party came in at 10% of the vote. And all of a sudden, he was a serious contender. Jan was invited to televise debates with the other candidates. And during one such debate, they were all asked about what was then a very important issue in Reykjavik, whether or not the airport should be moved.
I hadn't prepared for this. I hadn't really thought about it. And I said,
well, I've never moved an airport. I don't know how you go about moving an airport. I will look into it.
And after this, I felt awful. I felt so bad. And I was, you know, thinking to myself, who do you think you are? Why are you getting yourself into this? I mean, these are clever people. You know nothing. You have no idea what you're doing. Now everybody sees how stupid you are.
But after the debate aired, people that Jan knew, and even strangers on the street, came up to him and thanked him for his honesty. It was the first time they'd heard a candidate admit that they were uninformed on an issue. And then the best party polled at 20%.
I changed my methods a bit after this. I allowed myself to be more serious, and I tried to do it without becoming dull. And I studied different topics that were being discussed in debates. 2 weeks before the elections, there was a poll that showed like everybody was just going to more or less vote for us.
But naturally, as Jan's popularity grew, his opponents started taking him more seriously and ramping up their attacks.
And instead of, having fun and saying nonsense things, I was suddenly in the position where I had to defend myself. I had to start explaining things, and I mean that's a method. That's something that you can do with a jester, get him to explain himself and explain the jokes, and immediately he will cease to be funny. You kill the magic, with explanation, and that's what politicians are quite good at doing.
Jan knew his opponents saw him as a threat, and that's when he started having second thoughts.
Am I really going to get myself into city council and become the mayor? So I had to sit down with my wife and children, and we had to discuss this and my doubts. And they said, it's not about you. It's about something bigger than just you. And you're inspired. I mean, just the idea is inspiring people. It's giving people hope that it's not all lost, and we're not all losers, and we can actually make a difference.
Still, the prospect of actually becoming mayor gave him nightmares.
This is just getting too brutal, it's too aggressive. I don't think I can handle this. I wanna back out. I don't want to have to spend many years with these people. Then I decided to withdraw. And the day after, there was a big rally in the university in Reykjavik, and one after the other, they went up to the podium and had a speech. And when it was my turn, I told people about my doubts and my second thoughts about the whole thing, and I wasn't really sure. And as I was speaking, I was also thinking what I should do. And it was one of those moments when I feel myself getting unprepared on stage. And I said the last days, I felt everything had been getting so serious. I have actually decided to withdraw from the election. But in behind me, there were the other politicians. They couldn't hide the genuine happiness for my absence. And as I said it, I focused on people's faces and people's eyes. I was like, no, you can't, no. And I think I just decided it there on the spot when I saw people's reaction. And it's like with theater. I mean, there are certain rules that you cannot really break. You cannot break the relationship with the audience, because then everything's lost. And then I waited a few seconds, and then I said,
joke. Hérna. Það fyrst að vera gaman núna.
On June 15th, 2010, Jan Gunnar was sworn in as the mayor of Reykjavik. Or to quote one of his greatest fans, Lady Gaga, the mayor of Iceland. Jan entered parliament surrounded by six of his dearest Facebook friends, and the best party now accounted for almost half of city council. But after the victory parties were through, Jan found himself in charge of a city reeling from financial collapse.
The The seriousness of the financial situation had been kept a secret, and politicians were reluctant to admit how serious it was. But I didn't have any interests at stake, and they couldn't sack me. I would have to resign.
When Jan got to office, the only promise he kept was his promise to break all of his promises.
So instead of a free entrance to swimming pools and a free towel, I raised the entrance fee to the swimming pools and to the buses and electricity and hot water, and that was not popular.
Jan didn't stop there. He merged schools to cut costs. He refused to dine with the leaders of NATO, and he involved Reykjavik citizens in government decisions. And it worked. Almost all of it. And then, after 4 years, the longest he'd ever kept a job, his term was up. And he decided not to run again.
The best party was a kind of like a surprise party. You were just minding your own business, and then suddenly the lights are on and everybody's happy and all your friends are there. And that was the best party. Surprise parties don't stay surprise all evening. They become a regular party sooner or later. And you cannot do the surprise again. You cannot turn on the light and everybody goes, oh, surprise! It doesn't work, you know, because the magic is gone.
Now he's proved to himself, to Iceland, and to the world that he isn't joking. With a track record to back him up, he could now run as an accomplished politician.
I go out in the store and there's an old man there, you know. He sees me and he starts talking with me and, are you going to run for president? Many people are asking me about it.
So are you ready for that? Are you ready to present yourself to the world without this protection of comedy?
That's exactly what I'm not sure of. The comfort of comedy is very good. Some part of me wants to do it and another part of me can't think of it, you know.
Bad news, snappers. Jan just announced he's not going to run in the upcoming elections. But no worries, we're rooting for you anyway, Jan. Thanks so much for sharing your story. If you want to find out more, pick up a copy of Jan's memoir, Gnar, or just watch the documentary by the same name. We'll have links on our website, snapjudgment.org. That story is produced by Anna Adlerstein, with sound design by Leon Morimoto.